This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Our Cleveland sports reporter, Daryl Ryder, brought to you by Scheibe Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store.
Look at that.
I'm currently hiding in the hallway right now.
Well, that's good. Daryl,
like I do every Thursday.
Daryl, there was a question. We're going to bring this up a little bit later on the show. They came up on the afternoon show about trading Deshaun Watson. I know we talked about this a little bit on the podcast. Is that even on the board?
Yeah, I just don't think it's feasible from a salary cap management standpoint, from a financial standpoint, and then also, too, from anybody actually wants Deshaun Watson standpoint. Hmm. So, yeah, I just think that is extremely impossible to pull off. From my perspective.
Okay. Daryl, how does Deshaun Watson and the offensive line get better after this 1-5 start? I'm trying to be optimistic.
Run the ball.
That's it? Is that easy?
Yeah. Don't let him throw it. Yeah. Don't let him throw it. Because they can't do anything when he throws it. So, I asked Ken Dorsey this morning if maybe focusing the offense instead of being pass-based into a run-based offense, if that was a possibility, especially with Nick Chubb returning this week along with Nyheim Hines. And obviously Ken Dorsey really didn't provide much illumination there, but I don't think I've come up with much worse ideas than that, and I don't really think that that's a terrible idea to if you're not going to go back to the Kevin Stefanski offense and scrap what you've put in this year, which isn't working, you know, why not go ahead and come up with a situation where you just try and run the ball better, more, I should say, because when you look at what the Browns do offensively, they're ranked 30 and below in just about every meaningful category, except for their 28th running the ball and their 20th in yards per run play. So they just haven't had opportunities to really run the ball significantly because of the failures in the passing game. So why not try and come out and run the football for a while and see what can happen? I mean, there's no harm. You're already 1-5, your season shot. You can't throw it well with any level of consistency. You've had zero explosive plays down the field going for 40 or more yards. You can't score 20 points a game, and you can't throw for 200 yards in a game. So I'm of the mindset with Nick Chubb coming back, and obviously you don't just lean on Nick. You mix it up. You mix the carries up so you don't overwork him coming back. But I think they really need to lean into the run game much more than they have in weeks past.
What do you expect in Nick Chubb's first week back?
I don't know what to expect, honestly. I know what I hope for. I'm first, number one, hope he comes through injury-free and feeling good and feeling like himself. I hope he looks like himself and the player that we have watched here for years and years and years. But I don't know what to expect. I really don't. It's a medical miracle that he's back already, considering the injury that he had and the fact that it required two surgeries to repair all the damage that knee suffered. And that's the second time that particular knee, that left knee, has had to be rebuilt, which is not something that should have everyone concerned, but he feels strong. He feels ready. We spoke to him yesterday. The Browns feel he's ready to go. So he'll definitely be on a pitch count, though. I've got to think that they will limit not just the amount of times he's on the field, but his touches.
Daryl, is there a clock up in Andrew Berry's office that is counting down the days and time until November 5th for the trade deadline at 4 o'clock?
I don't know. I'm not allowed on the second floor. So, okay.
Can you be the investigative reporter that you are? Do you believe that there should be a clock in there that is counting down to November 5th?
I think Andrew Berry knows when the trade deadline is, and he won't have any problems navigating that. I think Amari Cooper's just the first trade. It's the first domino. And then as we go subsequent weeks here, we'll see what other, moves Berry makes. But I do not believe that that is the last trade Andrew Berry is going to make.
What said players do you think we should keep our eyes on?
I think anyone that has an expiring contract on the roster, guys like Za'Darius Smith, Rodney McLeod,
Wait, you're going to give up all of our offense? Come on, man.
Well, I'm just trying to think of guys that would actually garner attention. I'd be all for them trading Jedrick Wills, but I don't know that anybody actually wants Jedrick Wills. There's, Elijah Moore's in the final year of his contract. I think Mo Hurst is eligible for free agency in the spring. So, yeah, I mean, guys like that, if you can accumulate some more mid-round picks, because you can always take those mid-round picks and use them to move up into earlier rounds. But I don't see a scenario where there's a first-round pick to be had or a second-round pick to be had. Because if you acquire one of those type of picks, that means you have traded a cornerstone of the franchise. And I don't believe that this requires a massive overhaul that some people want to talk about. Like, they're not that far away. Their problems are not as deep to require those type of things. So, I really feel it comes down to one player that it just, would solve the problems. And they just have to be willing to make that adjustment to solve the problem. And I don't believe right now, clearly they're obviously not willing to do that at this point, but I don't get this. They have to, this thought that they have to trade Miles and they have to trade Denzel and they have to trade all these cornerstone pieces that they built this team around and go into another massive rebuild. Like, I completely disagree with that philosophy.
Our Cleveland sports reporter, Daryl Ryder, joining us, of course, sponsored by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. So, Daryl, from what you just laid out right there was my thought, because you don't often see in the NFL teams, frankly, put up the rummage sale sign in the front yard and just completely unload at the trade deadline. Like, you just don't see that in the NFL.
Yeah, well, I mean, and that's why, I don't think that Andrew Berry is going to wait until November 5th to make whatever roster changes he wants to make. I think it's going to be a progression as you go forward. And it's just look at Amari, right? I mean, that's just such a genius move, because he gave up a fifth round pick 2 years ago to get him from Dallas, right? You get two 1,000 yard seasons out of the guy, and then you end up trading him for a third round pick. Like, and that's 2 years down the line. So you got production out of a guy. He's 2 years older. And then on top of it, you got two rounds better in a draft pick back for him. That is, for me, that's just fantastic general managing and roster management, but that's just me. And so I think Berry deserves a lot of credit for that. But yeah, I think that between now and November 5th, he's going to gradually, if opportunities pop up where there's a player here that can fill a need on another team, I think Andrew Berry is in the perfect position to exploit that.
Daryl, how much of this 1-5 start is on Kevin Stefanski? He says it after, it's on us to coach better. We hear him say it at least twice a week. How much of it is truly on him?
Yeah, I mean, I think some of that's just media speak. And, he doesn't want to, he certainly doesn't want to single out any players. There are, the mental mistakes, the communication problems, those are things I can blame on Kevin Stefanski and his coaching staff, right? Because those are things that shouldn't happen in games. Or if they happen in a game, it should happen once and that's the end of it, right? And unfortunately, we've seen the pre-snap penalties, especially on the offensive side of the ball, be a problem. We've seen problems with miscommunication where they're even they're either having to burn timeouts or he can't go for it in situations in which he wants to go for it, right? So those elements, yes, I do put that on Kevin Stefanski. Are those fireable offenses? Not in my view. I just feel like that they're mitigating circumstances that are leading to those problems as well. But, we can sit here and argue play calls till we're blue in the face. And when it comes to those type of things, I lean on the players. I don't like criticizing coaches for play calls, because if the players execute what's called, then I think the coaches end up looking a lot smarter, right? It's when they're not executed that things look dumb. Like the one play call I will criticize, I believe it was 3rd and 1 last week, and they did like the sweep handoff to Cedric Tillman, and he just got absolutely blown up in the backfield, right? He couldn't even turn the corner. And, you know, Philadelphia read that play. If you go back and you watch that play, you can see one of the Eagles defensive ends pointed it out before the ball was even snapped. He was pointing at Cedric Tillman on the other side of the field, and he read it immediately and went in and was able to help make the play. So, I Stefanski deserves some blame. Of course he does. His assistant coaches deserve some blame. Of course they do. But for me, the players in the locker room deserve most of the blame, because they're the ones out there not getting it done in between the white lines.
All right, Daryl, thank you very much. You know we love talking to you, and we love listening to you on the It's Always Game Day in Cleveland podcast, also available on YouTube. Thanks, Daryl.
Thanks, D.
You bet, guys.